Bloody Elbow presents Crooklyn's Corner, a hodgepodge of current event topics from the combat sports and entertainment community. Here is your host, Crooklyn, a.k.a. Steffi Haynes.
Welcome back to another episode of Crooklyn's Corner. I'm your host, Crooklyn, but most of you know me by my real name, Steffi Haynes. And joining me today, I'm so excited because this has been a long time in the making. From Combat Sports with Rhino and Drea, I am joined by Rhino. And this guy has a voice as smooth as silk and a great, great podcast. I highly recommend it. Rhino, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Steffi Haynes. What a kind introduction, my friend. I hope I can live up to the hype.
Oh, I know you will. I know you will. So this episode, with it being so close to Thanksgiving, I figured what we would do is talk about things that we're thankful for. And I have a little theme going because I'm all about themes. And basically, this is going to be the whole Thanksgiving dinner. And so we're going to start with the appetizers. And the appetizers are fighters that we're really thankful for this year. So I'm going to start with you and we'll go back and forth. So tell me, who's at the top of your list that you're thankful for?
As far as fighters I am thankful for this year of 2021, do you want to go like one and one, or do you want me to just kind of run down my list here?
We could do it however you like. I just figured we'd bounce back and forth and talk about two or three that we're real thankful for, because we have an entire dinner to go through. We're talking appetizers, the meat, the starches, the dessert. I even have a little category for the after dinner bourbon.
That's fantastic. So we're starting off with fighters that I am thankful for. My first one is, anybody who listens to my show knows, anybody I talk about him at length all the time, is Francis the Predator Ngannou, my favorite fighter of the UFC. I am ultra thankful for Francis, not only for his fighting style, but his personality, the way he interacts with fans. I just love the guy. Can't say enough about him. And let's not forget the hardest punch in the history of mankind to date, my man Francis the Predator Ngannou.
I love it. And he is well worth the affection, the attention. I love that. For me, Dustin Poirier. I am the Stanwagon leader of the Dustin Poirier Stanwagon fan club. I love him. I love what he's all about with his charity work. I love his fight style. I love the fact that he has managed to shut Conor's yap. In theory, nobody's ever going to shut that guy's mouth, but in theory, he put it down in practice. He did it so well, and he did it twice this year.
Absolutely. And Dustin Poirier, again, of course, is on my list as well. But we're going to go ahead and skip down to the next one. You know, I'm going to go throw a little curveball at you. Instead of just being one fighter that I'm thankful for this tandem, if you will. I'm thankful that sometimes, Steffi, in a world that can be so cruel, in a world that can be so cold, if you will, sometimes love comes through on the in the beautiful landscape of mixed martial arts. So for me, I'm also going to include Thiago Marietta Santos and his beautiful lady, Yana Kuniskaya. I love them not only in the cage fighting, but I love them together. I love their posts, their family. It's such a beautiful story, and it warms my heart to see. So I'm thankful for the power couple that is Thiago Marietta Santos and Yana Kuniskaya.
I love that. You know what? I'm going to add a power couple there. This was not on my list, but since we're doing the tandem run, we got to go with Amanda Nunes and her wife, Nina Nunes. I love them, and the baby posts are so cute. The baby and the gi is my all-time favorite. I just love it. So that's really, really good thinking that you put the tandem post in there. I like that. Back to you.
Absolutely. Jiří Procházka would be the next one on my list. Oh, yeah. Jiří Procházka is somebody who I first saw in the kickboxing world, has to be a decade ago or so. On one of those random, you know, either ESPN2 or Axis TV late night fight deals, right, where they were replaying a Glory or whatever it was. And Jiří Procházka has really brought life into 205. He's really brought something special, something different, something new. And it's only every once in a while that somebody comes along that kind of brings that joie de vivre with them, right? That has the violence, and they also have the unique and interesting personality. And I just love to watch the guy fight. And obviously, his hair is always an interesting topic of discussion. So Jiří Procházka would be one on the list for me as well, Steffi.
I love him as well. I was just talking in a chat chat with some people about him, and I refer to him as a guy that clubs his dinner to death and eats it raw, because that's his fight style in a nutshell. My next win has to be Chris Barnett, Huggy Bear. I love seeing him in the UFC. I love his story. I love that he comes from a long line of martial artists, and I like seeing him win. It's really nice because I've known him for a long time. I've interviewed him several times, and he's just one of the nicest people in the sport. So, Huggy Bear, this one's for you.
Absolutely. I co-sign on that one. I just had him on my show, I think 3 weeks ago. So that was my first time getting to talk to Chris. And what a funny and interesting backstory that I would, you know, that you didn't know. You know, myself, I didn't know going into it. And then it was such a funny interaction. It was such it was so wholesome and it was so silly when he was talking about, we were talking about the food that he was going to get in New York, and his lady was with him, and she was like, I want White Castle, I want pizza, and all these like things. And Chris was like, well, we're going to be in New York where they have all these, like, you know, these expensive, extravagant foods. She's like, I want White Castle, and I want New York. So he looked at me straight in the camera and said, I guess we're getting White Castle and pizza right now. So I really enjoyed him as well. Love seeing him get that win also with the an incredible style with the spinning wheel kick to John Volante's head.
It's really neat to see a guy his size be able to be that flexible and athletic. It's really neat to see.
Definitely shout out to him. And if you guys haven't already, of course, check him out on his Instagram stories. Chris posts some of the best stuff on his IG between, you know, doing the trampoline video that he just put out, which was amazing. And then he did like kind of the where he ghost rides the whip, right, where he's dancing on the side of his car. I mean, it was just, he is hilarious. And yeah, I couldn't co-sign more egregiously than I am with it, because I love that guy too.
So your next guy?
Mine was actually in my next lady, which is going to be Valentina Bullet Shevchenko.
Yes.
You want to talk about the personification of skill. You are talking about Valentina Shevchenko. Not only is she an incredible striker, which we saw, you know, for her entire Muay Thai and kickboxing career, but then, and especially early in her MMA career, but now we've seen the full arsenal. She has the wrestling, she has the jiu-jitsu, she has the timing. Everything about her game is sharp as a knife. And Valentina Bullet Shevchenko is also somebody who I think is a good representative of the sport, in that she you know, carries herself in a very professional manner. She, you know, she has all of her hustles on the side, which, you know, she's having income coming in from several different streams. And every time she gets a chance to perform in the octagon, she knocks it out of the park. So Valentina Shevchenko is definitely a fighter that I am thankful for in 2021.
I have to agree with you there. If you were to put a picture of the most complete fighter you could think of, my picture that comes to mind is Valentina. The other thing I like about Valentina is she is a champion of the bullied. When everybody was talking, especially Khabib was talking about how ring card girls were useless and this and that, she immediately came to their defense. And I like that, because women can be catty bitches, and that is something that Valentina is not. And I love that about her, because she's in a position where that she could act however she wants, really. And she acts like a decent human being. So I really like that about her. Now, my final pick has to be Brandon Moreno. Love him. I am also the stand wagon leader of the Brandon Moreno Assassin Baby fan club stand wagon. What's not to like about him? He's like a giant kid. He loves Legos. He loves this. He loves that. The one thing that I hate is that the UFC doesn't promote him the way that they sometimes promote their other champions. And I would love to see them give a little bit more marketing push to him, because, you know, he is fantastic. And listen, Latin American buying dollars are a huge, significant portion of those pay-per-view buys. They really should get behind him and give him the push that he deserves. But I love, love, love Brandon Moreno.
Yeah, I'm absolutely on board with Brandon Moreno. And I've talked about it at length previously, that I, for a very long time, I wasn't too high on the 125-pound division. I thought it was a showcase for Demetrius Johnson because he was just so much better than everybody, right? So whenever there's such an incredibly dominant champion, I tend to, invest my time, I guess, and energy into different weight classes where there's a little bit more drama, or there's a little bit more, a little bit more competition to get to the top. But Brandon Moreno, Figgy, a lot of these guys have totally changed my perspective on it. And I love Brandon Moreno too, so I think that's a great one.
All right. So we're going to move now into the meat category. And the meat category are the fights of 2021 that we are most thankful for. And I'm going to kick it off because I know you and I both probably share this fight. It's got to be Gaethje and Chandler at the very top.
I absolutely have that as my number two, but yes, that's absolutely right at the top of my list.
And the reason why, it's self-explanatory. Where can you get a slobber knocker like that? Nowhere. I mean, seriously. Well, we'll put it like this. Gaethje and Chandler are frequently involved in fights like that, but I don't think either one of them have had a fight of that magnitude on their own with any other person. And I wouldn't mind seeing a part two of this, maybe a year out from this last one, and with neither of them taking another fight in between, because I feel like an entire year is warranted for the recovery of those two.
That fight was, it was billed as, oh my God, you were never going to see something like this ever again. I mean, it's going to be so great. There was such a hard level to live up to, and they absolutely met it and exceeded it, I thought, with that nonstop back and forth, out of bounds fucking fight. Steffi, are we allowed to swear on this one?
Of course. This fight
was incredible. I loved that fight. Justin Gaethje and Michael Chandler were, yeah, I agree with you. They are made for each other, dance partners. Yeah, I totally co-sign on that one. For me, Steffi, my number one favorite fight, and I know this might be a little bit of a curveball, I think it's on some top 10 lists and stuff, but I don't hear too many people talk about it or refer back to it, but UFC 262, Edson Barbosa and Shane Burgos.
Oh, yeah.
I am an Edson Barbosa fan from the very fucking beginning of seeing this guy enter the cage. I love Edson Barbosa, and I said it many times because I was still right in the thick of my pro career when Edson was, coming onto the scene, and I saw 155 pound at the time, a lightweight who threw leg kicks harder than any human being I'd ever seen throw leg kicks. Somebody who put fear in me. Now, keep in mind, I'm 6'1", and at the time, I was probably 265, 270, in good shape. And Edson Barbosa terrified me because of how crazy strong he was in his striking game, but particularly the leg kicks. And him and Shane Burgos went to war, and it was an incredible fight. And, the only reason I think that I put that ahead of Gaethje Chandler was because there was a definitive finish, right? Yeah. Yeah. There was Barbosa stopped Burgos with that right hook. And so that's the only reason I have that ahead of Gaethje and Chandler. But man, what an incredible battle. Blood, guts, snot, the whole thing. I love that fight. So yeah, my favorite fight from 2021 was Edson Barbosa and Shane Burgos.
I'm going to bounce back with Max Holloway and Calvin Kattar. Now, I like this fight because for a bit it was competitive, but after a while the tide turned clearly towards Holloway. It was competitive for about a round and a half. But the reason I like it is because of the way that Holloway just picked him apart. And it was a wonderful showcase of Holloway's talents. But at the same time, I almost didn't put it on the list because of how completely he took Calvin Kattar apart. That is what you call a career-altering beating. But again, it's all about Max Holloway, and I love Max Holloway. So that is why I chose that one, sir.
Absolutely. And I'm a huge Max Holloway fan. I'm a huge Calvin Kattar fan too. So that was one of those deals where, unlike the Gaethje Chandler fight, where I was clearly a Gaethje over Chandler guy, or unlike the, Edson Barbosa Burgos, where I'm clearly a Edson Barbosa guy, the fact that I really like both of those fighters, I did not have the same enjoyment as I would imagine right. You did or somebody else did, because it just saw, I just saw one fighter that I really like and respect getting the shit beat out of him by the other one and landing in a record amount of strikes. So Yeah, for me, my third one on the list for my favorite fights of 2021 is Volk versus Ortega.
Oh, yeah. That was number two on my list. I went down because I wanted to make sure that I got to Holloway Cater. But Volk Ortega was number two on my list. I love that fight, too.
100%. And I think a lot of us, I mean, myself included, I'm completely guilty of this. The narrative for me was I thought Volk was going to, if he didn't get submitted, right, if he was able to avoid a submission from T-City, that Volk was going to kind of run through him. I thought the physicality was way leaning on Volkanovski's side over Ortega. And Ortega showed a level of heart, a level of being willing to, you know, stay in the battle, to take a ton of damage and still be dangerous, that I don't think, I know we'd never seen before, and I don't think many of us thought he had in him. You know what I mean? The whole thing shifted with me, and now he's not just this pretty guy who can do this amazing submissions and has pretty okay stand-up. He really has a level of toughness that he proved to everybody that night, and what an incredible fight it was. So yeah, that was the next one on my fights, is Alexander Volkanovski versus Brian Ortiz City Ortega.
You know, Ortega and Rodriguez both have proven themselves to be tough son of a guns lately. I am very impressed with the both of them. Now, I wanted to put something on here because we share that Volkanovski-Ortega pick. I did put one as a special mention, and that is Rafael Fiziev and Bobby Green.
What an
outstanding fight. And you know what? Bobby Green has turned a corner. He is having an amazing career arc. I hearken back to Robbie Lawler's career arc where, you know, he was struggling there for a bit, and then all of a sudden he just became a world beater. And I feel like we're looking at that a little bit here with Bobby Green. What he did to Ally Aquinta, whew, I mean, he retired Ally Aquinta.
Yeah.
Completely. And that's it. Ally Aquinta retired. And, you know, you look at that and I just love this fight. Even though he did not win the fight, it was fantastic. And had it gone five rounds, I firmly believe he would have won it. He is a guy that I want to see in a five-round main event. And he's worth putting in there because he's exciting. So that's my special mention.
Absolutely. Bobby Green is one of those guys. And you don't know what clicks and at what stage of your career, right? Because it happens different times for different fighters, and some fighters it never happens to or for at all. But Bobby Green has all cylinders firing right now. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Bobby Green as well.
All right, so now we're gonna get to the starches. We're not doing vegetables because let's be real here. The only vegetable we really see on a Thanksgiving plate is the green bean casserole, and it's almost become a starch by the time that casserole comes out of the oven. So we're talking the mashed potatoes and gravy, the stuffing, the sweet potatoes, you know, the candied yams, whatever you want to call them. We're into the starches now. And the starches are our favorite knockouts of 2021. I'm going to throw it to you first.
Absolutely. We already touched on Dustin Connor, and I think we can go back to that at a different time, but I want to have a different one. And this wasn't for a lack of KOs over the year in the UFC, but I did want to throw a little bit of love to Bellator, because I'm one of the few people who actually does follow Bellator fairly closely and does enjoy it. But yeah, I'm going to go with Robin Feraldo, his flying
knee.
Oh
my God, yes.
Over Turnquist. What was that, 2 weeks ago or whatever it was?
Yeah, two weeks ago. And that was a scary one.
It was so clean. I love the swag before, because he heard him and he pointed at him and then he closed the distance and threw. I mean, it was a very quick. I mean, it wasn't one of those ones where you take two or three steps to set up. It was a very stop, pop, 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 you know what I mean? And he put the guy zombied out, right? Completely out. His head hit the fence. It was beautiful. So Robin Feraldo with his flying knee is my first on the starch list. And he's going to get, we'll call this the candied yams award for this one.
Well, I called this the starches rather than the side dishes because it's appropriate. These people got starched.
Right.
And the other thing about Feraldo, when he pointed to him, tell me you didn't see in your head Babe Ruth pointing.
Oh my gosh. I should have. No, I thought of the first thing I thought of was Nate Diaz when he hit Leon with that left and shook him, and he pointed at it. That was my first thought when I saw that.
I immediately thought in my head, he's Babe Ruthing. He's pointing out his home run.
He's calling his shot.
That's right. Well, my first one has to be Corey Sandhagen over Frankie Edgar. 28 seconds of round one. That flying knee was a thing of beauty. Now, this was way back in February, but I remember it like it was yesterday, because again, that was also a very scary knockout.
It's hard to see someone that we've watched for so long, like Frankie Edgar, who's had such a storied career, get taken out in that manner, right? Like, at least for me, it was hard to watch. It was hard to see, but I mean, technically beautiful. An incredible, none of us thought that coming, I don't think, right?
Right.
And what a finish that ended up being. You're right. That was a clean out starch. Steffi, if we're ping ponging over to me, I got to go with Kamaru Usman versus Jorge Masvidal. Oh,
you and I, we both have the same one. That's awesome, though. I love that we're eye to eye on that one.
Absolutely. That straight punch, the missed that came across, you know, on the screen from the hair from getting hit. Everything about the Jorge Masvidal going down, spinning, you know what I mean? Everything was very, like, dramatic and theatrical about it. And it was a starch. It was clean out. And it was Kamaru showing once again that he's the best, not only the best 170 on the planet right now, but very much so in the conversation for the best ever to do it at 170.
Absolutely. And how satisfying was it, considering some of the really, really questionable things that Jorge Masvidal has said and done? And I will not forgive him for continuously putting Charles Bennett in his bare knuckle promotion. I mean, anybody that can take Charles Bennett, who was on a 17 fight losing streak, and still stick him in to fight, there's a problem there. And so that was a satisfying knockout for me.
I can't ever hear Felony Bennett's name or think about him without thinking about the time that, and somebody out there will remember, I don't remember
exactly who it was, but right.
But when he got choked out in the back room of Pride,
yeah,
Vanderlei was there, but it wasn't Vanderlei who choked him out. But I'll never forget that Charles was talking a bunch of shit to Vanderlei and somebody else and
got him from behind.
And he got completely put to sleep, mm-hmm. and he came to, and he was like, I don't even know what happened.
Yep. Somebody, him and Vanderlei were getting ready to go at it, and somebody got him from behind before they could do something really dumb. So they both kind of got saved by Charles getting choked out. That was back when he was Crazy Horse and not Felony.
Yeah. That was back when he was somewhat quasi-relevant.
Yeah. My next one is going to be Jiří Procházka over Dominic Reyes. 4 minutes, 29 seconds of round number two back in May. That spinning back elbow. I am a huge fan of Jiří. I love him. And man, that was a gnarly fight in general. But the finish was just crispy, crunchy. It was the Rice Krispies bar of the event.
Dominic Reyes is somebody who I was glad got another chance to kind of showcase. You know, everyone reverts back to his very close fight with John Jones, but he got a chance to kind of, you know, be that star again. And Jiří Procházka really rose to the challenge. And not only was it a great fight, it was on my top 10 list of fights, you know, my favorite fights of the year, but Jiří Procházka put himself, he stamped it. Right, that he is here and he is ready to fight the best of the best at 205 and be a champion in the very near future.
Absolutely. And that's going to round out my starches. I want to get to the desserts. Now, the desserts are a little bit different. These are our feel-good fights. The fights you look at and you think to yourself, damn, I don't know if I want either one of these guys to win or lose. Maybe we could root for a draw. I'm going to let you start.
Okay, so I guess I went a little bit of a different route when I saw your description of the desserts. I just thought it was feel good moments of the year, right?
Anything you want it to be. This is all about you today, Rhino.
So my first one that I wrote on my list was Glover Teixeira winning the light heavyweight championship at 42 years old.
That's also my first one. I am
42 years old. And so for somebody, you know, to be my age and still competing at such a high level and having been in the game for so long. I mean, I literally remember on Spike TV seeing him helping Chuck prep for a fight like back in the mid 2000s.
Yeah.
And Glover Teixeira had come over and was working over the pit with John Hackelman and that whole crew. And cut to all these years later, you know, all the grays in his beard, all the, you know, the trouble that he's had, you know, with visa issues over the year and, you know, the getting really hurt in a few of his fights and really knocked out bad, to coming all full circle and winning the title at 205. It's just, it's probably in my top three most favorite feel good moments of the entire year for sure.
That was my number one feel good fight. And the reason why is because both guys were just awesome human beings. I loved the, what is it? Embedded. Why is that escaping me? Anyways, there was an embedded and Jan gives Glover a beer. He tells him, I hear you like beer. And this is the very best beer from the little town I'm from in Poland. I want you to have this. And literally, I mean, it brought tears to my eyes. And then sure. I'm watching the fight and I'm teary eyed the whole time they're fighting. And of course, when Glover won and he gives his speech at the end, I am just boo hooing like it was me that won. And so I love that fight for all the emotion it made me feel. So I love that fight. Now let's go back to you for your second moment and or fight.
It's really the feel good is keep on coming, my dear. And that is that I've got Giga Chikidze and how his career is going, considering that he fights for his mother. He fights for his mother's memory, and he does it to raise awareness for breast cancer, which I know, Steffi, for the two of us,
yes,
is a very important and very personal and very special part of our lives, right? Yeah. That has affected us both. You know, I've said it before. My mother is a breast cancer survivor, and this is a disease that is very near and dear to my heart. I know yours as well. So yes. Giga Chikidze is somebody who I have always rooted for since hearing about that. That's kind of the, you know, the story behind his career. And I am forever going to be a Giga Chikidze fan.
Absolutely. I love that. My feel good fight, my next one is Adrian Yanez and Randy Costa. Man, the lead up to their fight was amazing. And I just loved it, loved it, loved it. I'm a big fan of Yanez, so it was nice seeing him get the win. But really, going into that, I thought to myself, does either guy have to lose?
I could not agree with you more on that, but I've had them both on my show and I loved both of their personalities and I loved the lead up as well, but it was kind of the opposite for me, where it was like I kind of remember back when Bobby Hurley and Danny Hurley had to play each other in the NCAA tournament many years ago with Duke and Seton Hall. And I remember their parents both being like, I don't even want to watch. I can't even watch this. This is so hard to watch. That was kind of like it for me too, because I'm such a big fan of both guys. And kind of like you, I just didn't want anybody to lose. But we did get a brutal, beautiful knockout for Adrian Yanez over Randy Costa. And both guys are so young and still early in their career that a loss on that night isn't going to really slide them down the bench too far. So I felt pretty good about it afterwards. But boy, I was a nervous cat watching that fight, my friend.
So what's your next one?
Mine would be, and I see his name, and I've said his name literally like 10 different times over the course of my show, and I think I always mess it up. So please correct me if I am wrong. But my man, Kennedy Njoku.
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 I think that's how you say it. Okay. Njoku, something like that. But we'll just go with Kennedy in. How about that?
Yeah, okay. So my man Kennedy, you know, when I first saw him, I'm like, okay, here's another, you know, prospect, a big, you know, kid who to get in there. But then when I heard the story, and again, we're talking about feel good and things that we love and things that are bigger than the sport. When you find out about his mom, who's been battling ALS for a long time, and how Kennedy, you know, left college to stay home and take care of her. And he continues to take care of her, even fighting at the highest levels of MMA. And it shows you not only the character of the young man, but that there's still some good in the world, right? I think if you asked 100 people, random people on the street, I think probably 80 or 75 people would say, you know, the MMA is just full of brutes and it's just full of people who are, you know, mindless barbarians swinging at each other. And then then you could give them the story like this, be like, look, this is what this young man is doing. This is not only is he performing at a high level. I know he lost his last fight, but this kid is has a very high upside. And I really think his career is going to take an upward trajectory soon. But I think if you look at him and you look at the story, it shows you that there are people in this sport, and I think it's the majority, who are good, kind people who think of things above and beyond themselves. And Kennedy Nzechukwu is another example of that.
And I think that's how you say it, the way you just said it right there.
Nzechukwu.
Yeah, I think that's how you say it. I don't know if that's how. So. It sounded a little different when you first brought it in, but
yeah,
I think,
as I said 10 times differently, and I don't never ever had it right, but who knows what I'm talking about, and I give him all the respect.
Oh, my final feel-good fight, because I went the fight route.
Right.
Shane Burgos and Billy Quarantillo. And you know what? Both guys, super nice guys. And I feel bad for them because they had to go after Justin Gaethje and Michael Chandler. And on any other night, on any other card, this fight would have been fight of the night. But you have to follow the complete and total eclipse. You have to hang out in the shade of that fight. And it kind of got lost in the mix. Now, Dana White did say in the post-fight presser that they would get something, but it wouldn't be $50,000. And that bothers me a little bit because they're on track to possibly make $1 billion in pay-per-view revenue this year. So,
wow.
Speaking of that, having their very best year and they can't afford to give two extra guys $50,000 just really chaps my ass, but doesn't take away from the fact that two really nice guys went in there and really scrapped. They put on a beautiful fight, and even in loss, Billy Quarantillo, his stock didn't fall because, I mean, that kid, he put it on him.
Can you just for a second, we take a second just to think about Shane Burgos. You want to talk about the Josh Emmett fight, you talk about the Edson Barbosa fight, you talk about the Billy Q fight. Come on, dude, this guy fucking brings it every time. Burgos, let's give him some love. Let's put him on those lists of guys who always bring it and who always have exciting fights. So yeah, big shout out to Shane Burgos. And of course, Billy Q. You know what I thought about that night was like, okay, so my favorite movie ever is Braveheart. And Braveheart, I believe, won an Oscar. And you know, it was a big movie for its time, but it really wasn't one of those movies that I think set records of sort. You know, it's like the Billy Q Shane Burgos fight is kind of like the movie Braveheart opening on the same weekend as something like Star Wars. You know what I mean? You had something so huge and so monumental and something so crazy big and incredible. And then yours was really, really good too. It just happened to be on the same weekend as Star Wars, i.e. Justin Gaethje and Michael Chandler.
They also ran.
Right, exactly.
All right. So now that we've got dessert out of the way, we're going to go in and we're going to have our after meal bourbon. And this is just the one thing that you're grateful for from the sport as a whole that's not any of the topics above.
I knew as soon as I saw this on your question list, I knew exactly what I was going to say. I am forever going to be grateful and thankful for. And again, I'm going to preface this by saying I know that the UFC is far from perfect. I know that there are a million things that many of us would want to change about it, from fighter pay to healthcare for fighters to ranking system. I mean, there's a million things, but I am going to say this, and this goes back to 2020 and to now. The fact that the UFC as a company and the sport that I love the most, I mean, I love all combat sports, but I mean, as a whole, I love mixed martial arts. The fact that they were put on content through a pandemic, and to my knowledge, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, there were no outbreaks due directly to them putting on shows. So for the entirety pretty much of 2020 and now through 2021, through all the restrictions and through all of the protocols that have had to be put in place, we have had content. For those of us who crave, love, combat sports. This has been a small miracle, if not a major miracle, that there has been such an incredible amount of content, fights in a multitude of locations. And we've had some of the best moments in the history of the sport that have happened over the last couple of years. So I am extremely thankful that the UFC was able to put on content as often as they have been for the last 2 years. And that there, to my knowledge, has been no significant outbreaks of COVID from those fights.
That is an excellent, excellent choice, and I will co-sign you there. Mine is a little different. Mine is MMA Twitter as a whole, because we have gotten some of the best comedy, some of the best accounts, and some of the nicest people have come from MMA Twitter as a whole. So I have to salute MMA Twitter. There's a million funny people on there, lots of standout people. KGB, LMAO, Kelsey, very, very funny girl. I love that girl so much. She cracks me up on a daily basis. So special shout out to her. But there's so many nice people there as well. And I think that as a community, we could. There are times when people take shots at the community as a whole, when there's articles that come out that take shots. I think the community also comes together. They put aside their differences. They come together and they rebel a little. And I like that too. I think that a lot of the good people in the community also come together and try to help the fighters a little bit, be it through the media sources or just people constantly railing against the machine, you know, constantly tweeting at Dana White and the UFC and just trying to do whatever they can. I just love the whole space.
Absolutely.
So now we're going to do a little sidetracking here, and this is going to be personal stuff. So I got a couple of questions for you. I want to know first, I want to know what's for dinner this year for Thanksgiving at Rhino's house.
So Rhino, me, I'm going to be going to a buddy of mine's. I'm being taken in as a man without a host. My family, while we still live in the Detroit area, I live about an hour and a half from where my parents do, but they are going down south to my younger sister and her family. And I have, I'm not going to be going down there this year, so I'm going to my buddy's house. And what I've been told is that we're going to do, obviously, the standard turkey, the standard sides of, you know, mashed potatoes and candied yams and things of that nature. But the side dish, Steffi, that he asked, he's like, you know, dude, he's like, we're really glad to have you for this year, and we want to have one thing that's like your suggestion. What would you like, you know, as a side dish? And I asked for, oh, wait for it, it's going to be so good. Red Lobster Cheddar Bay biscuits.
Oh yeah.
And lo and behold, my man is hooking me up. Hey, we are going to have Cheddar Bay biscuits along with all of the regular, you know, all of the regular Turkey Day favorites. So I'm going to my buddy's house, and that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be watching football. You know, I'm from Detroit. He's from Chicago. The Bears are playing the Lions. They're both, neither team are very good, but we're going to enjoy ourselves and yeah, have a really great time. So I'm very fortunate that I've got a good friend who would gladly take me in to have Turkey Day with them.
That's awesome. Now, when you were growing up, was there a tradition? Like for us, we always trim the tree that Thanksgiving night. We always put up the tree and got the decorations going. And a lot of times it stretched into the next day, but we definitely got it started and at least got the tree up on Thanksgiving night. So I'm curious if you had any traditions growing up or that you continue to do this day.
Nothing really that I continue to do this day, but what definitely growing up, there were several, my family, and this has always been funny to me, they would prank call each other. So my mom and all of her siblings, all my aunt, uncles and cousins and stuff, everyone would call really early in the morning to each other's houses. And I don't know the backstory to this, but this is just always what has happened. And you prank call your relatives and you say the word rutabaga and then hang up. Again, I don't know the backstory of it, but that was what they would do. So if your phone rang on Thanksgiving Day, whether it was 4:30 in the morning or 6 or whatever, you knew it was going to be an uncle or a cousin or an aunt or an uncle, and someone just go like you know, holding back laughter, rutabaga, and then hang up the phone. So yeah, that's a fun family tradition that I haven't continued on, but I think it's still going, right? So I don't need to really continue it too much. But yeah, the rutabaga one is still pretty funny.
I'd like to make a request that you call someone in your family and holler out rutabaga. I want to make that request. I mean, that's got to happen.
The problem is with cell phones, everybody turns them off now. There is no answering machine like there was back in the 80s. Mm-hmm. So even with nobody answered, you could still get away with your rutabaga and get away scot-free. Now everyone has their phone on silent, so they're awake and everything. So yeah, maybe I'll have to do like a random midday rutabaga.
That's what you need to do. Now, my final question. Is holiday movies. Everybody starts the holiday movie watching on Thanksgiving. I gotta know, favorite holiday movie.
If we're going strictly Christmas, it's A Christmas Story, without a doubt. But it's like 1 and 1A. So it's A Christmas Story because of the nostalgia, because, you know, it's been around since I can remember. And I don't know if they still do it, but they did like, you know, 24 hours of A Christmas Story on TBS. And I used to watch it all the time when I was a kid, when we would go visit grandparents and stuff. So A Christmas Story with Ralphie, You'll Shoot Your Eye Out and the whole bit. I love that. But I think as an adult, I'm still torn. So it's like 1 and 1A, with the 1A being National Lampoon's yes. Christmas. It gets better as I get older, because, you know, you don't always understand all the nuances and all some of the inside jokes and some of the more adult jokes, right, as you get older. And you learn them, right? So, yeah, I would have to go with Christmas, National Lampoon's Christmas, as 1 and 2 with A Christmas Story.
That is my number one, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. I freaking love it. Shitter's full.
A lot of sap in here. We always say that. A lot of sap.
It is brilliant, and it never gets old for me. But I also like Home Alone. I can't help myself. I love the original Home Alone. Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern are magic together. They were hilarious. That's the best part of the movie. So
that's a great flick. But you remember remember the sound it makes when Daniel Stern's foot first gets onto the nail?
When the spider gets on him and he screams like a woman. It's so funny. I love it.
That was a great scream. But again, the thing that's haunted me ever since seeing that as a little kid was that sound.
Yeah.
Of the sharp nail going into the foot. Scraping, squishing. Yeah, dude. That has haunted me for forever. But yeah, you're right. That is an amazing movie.
All right. So that's going to wrap us up here. What I want to do now, you have a new episode up of your show. So why don't you tell us about that episode and where we can find it?
Sure. Our last episode will be episode 101, featuring the LFA middleweight standout fighting for the LFA middleweight championship, Jared the Rebel Ravel, which will be fighting on December 3rd on UFC Fight Pass for the LFA 185-pound championship. That and all of our episodes can be found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, pretty much everywhere you get your podcasts. And again, to definitely check out the previous couple of weeks. You know, like I said, we've had awesome Chris Barnett, who I love to call Huggy Bear or Beast Boy, whichever one you call him, he's the same guy. And then episode 100, we had Rob Font on there for a great interview. So yeah, lots of fun episodes as of late. You guys can look back if some of your favorite fighters have been on there, check the backlog. We've got all kinds of wonderful, amazing, cool guests over the years. And episode 102 will be out this Sunday. And like I said, you can find us on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you go. Listen to your podcasts.
Tell us where to find you on your social media.
Our social media, you can find us on Twitter, Combat Sports with Rhino, on Instagram, also Combat Sports with Rhino. And then basically Drea is really kind of more in charge of the Instagram account, and I run the Twitter account. But we don't post a ton of non-MMA stuff. So we're really not, we really are kind of almost entirely about combat sports. We do a lot of boxing content as well. So yeah, anything combat sports, you can come look us up, check us out, give us a follow. We almost always follow back, particularly if you have MMA or any sort of fighting anything in your name or in your avi. We're pretty quick to follow back on anybody who has that as well.
And there you have it, folks. Rhino from Combat Sports with Rhino and Drea. That's our show. Please Until the next time, keep yourself safe and have a good holiday.
Thank you for listening to this Bloody Elbow Presents production. To check out more of our content, hop over to the Bloody Elbow Presents SoundCloud and iTunes pages, and be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is also titled Bloody Elbow Presents. We're also on Apple TV, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Overcast, Player FM, and Amazon Music. Just search for Bloody Elbow Presents, and you'll get brand new shows throughout the week, including Care Don't Care, The Mookie and Crookie Show, the best of the Come On Now MMA podcast, Crooklyn's Corner, the MMA Vivisection, the Level Change podcast, Show Money, the Sixth Round Post Fight Show, Sixth Round Retro, the MMA Depressed Us, and radio style play by play for every UFC pay per view. You can also follow us on Twitter at Bloody Elbow and on Facebook at facebook.com/Bloody Elbow Blog, and of course on BloodyElbow.com.